Do you know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about that are controversial. Because I'm going to pick one of them. Be interesting to see. I hope that I prayed quite a bit for this, that I would be clear in my communication, that we would look at the scriptures in a way that would be appropriate for us in this topic. And as soon as I tell you the topic, a number of you are going to say, oh, that's okay. Yeah, I already know all this. It's good. I'm good. You just keep going, Jim. It's fine. And some of you are going to look at me and say, well, I've been in backgrounds that they say that we don't do this anymore. Or we do this. Or whatever. I'm going to speak on prophecy. And do we believe prophecy exists today? And not just biblical prophecy, for example, biblical prophecy, as we know, nations are going to conspire against Israel. We know it. After the rebirth of the nation, the scriptures are clear that nations will continue to conspire against Israel. And there will be, it'll actually get worse as time goes on, not better, which is really a bummer. And Israeli or Orthodox Jews in Israel also know these passages because these are all from the Tanakh. So there's biblical prophecy, but yet there seems to be this world of individual prophecy. What's going on? What is this? What do we believe? So I'm going to speak to, I'll tell you what we believe here at Beth Messiah. I'll tell you why we believe what we believe here at Beth Messiah. And why I'm speaking on this topic today. Sound good? It's a strange topic for me. It's a strange topic. So here's, let's get a sense of it in the scriptures. David. Thank you. Do you have any volunteers to help David with fixing multimedia? I'm kidding. It's not. David, I don't know what's going on. He doesn't know what's going on either. But there you go. Thank you, David. 1 Corinthians 12. This is New Covenant stuff here. Do you know? This is astounding to me how many people don't think about what I'm going to say here. All through the Tanakh, there are people prophesying. And I don't mean big names. I don't mean just the Isaiahs and Jeremiahs and Ezekiels and Daniels, the big names. There's a lot of times we see in scriptures where there's small groups of prophets and bigger groups of prophets. And these are no-name prophets. They're not the big prophets, but they're prophesying all through the land of Israel. It's not an unusual thing. So when we see this jump into the new covenant, it's not an unusual topic for Paul and for other Jews to be talking about, because for hundreds of years in Israel, more than 1,000 years, we see this movement of prophets in Israel. It's not odd. It's like water baptism in churches. People think that water baptism was started just for Christians, but that's not true. By the time Yeshua walked in the earth, it wasn't even called water baptism. I use that as a church expression. By the time Yeshua walked in the earth, it was old news. God himself had put structure and concepts around what a mikvah, what an immersion is supposed to be like. And that's really the name for the tank. But he himself had designed what it was supposed to be like. So when churches would call John the Baptist as standing in a river, and churches would say baptizing people, it had already been going on for more than 1,000 years in Israel. Wild, right? And prophecy is like that too. It's so old by the time Paul walks on the earth. So, and he writes this down. He writes a letter to the congregation, the community in Corinth, and he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God, who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is to give each one for the profit of all, that everybody would get something to be able to encourage everybody in the community. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another is word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and those are different things. And I'm not going to speak in that today. We'll just focus on prophecy. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits and different kinds of tongues. So these things. So now what he's saying is the Ruach, the Spirit, gives these gifts. And he does it as he sees appropriately. And this is what Paul's telling people to do. Some of you, and I'm going to go, I really want to include this. Some of you have really got in your mind, maybe you've been taught some scriptures that say, that God doesn't do this anymore. And I'm going to look at the three main arguments very, very quickly. What a lot of people teach, especially churches, these are church arguments, why there is no prophecy today. And they generally go to three things. There's three that they, three big ones. The first, you have made me act like a fool, he says in 2 Corinthians. This is another letter to the community in Corinth. You ought to be writing commendations for me, but I am not at all inferior to these super apostles. So what's going on is people are kind of, they're not respectful of where Paul's coming from. And I'll just say for the sake of simplicity, they're not appreciating the word Paul's bringing. Look at this person, look at this person. There's other people are bringing things. And so Paul just mentions his credentials just a little bit. When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I am an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. So what some people hear in these church communities is that miracles and signs and wonders like prophecy and these other things were really just for the apostles in that time. And Paul was saying that. They said, well, look, Paul's referring to the being an apostle in that time, a shaliach in Hebrew. And we would say, well, that was acceptable. That was proof of being a shaliach in that time. My problem is this. If I look in the rest of the New Covenant, David, there we go, we find a whole list of other people who were not apostles who were used in prophecy. We can't say it was just for apostles. Apostles did operate in those gifts, but so did other people. A lot of people, we don't even have their names. For example, Philip had four daughters. They all operated in this prophetic gift. We don't even know their names. Anna, Agabus, Judas and Silas, a group of unnamed prophets. Remember, the old covenant, the Tanakh, was chock full of people who would travel around in these groups and they would prophesy. So when there's a group of prophets in the new covenant, it's not a new thing. A group of prophets and teachers, including, and there's some names here, Simeon, Lucius, Manan, a group of elders for Timothy. So this young guy, Timothy, has a group of elders pray for him, lay hands on him and pray for him. And there's some prophecy in there for him. So I'm not going to buy that argument in that it was just for apostles. I can't buy it because other people got it too. You see that? So we go into the second one. Love never ends. This is agape. This is a perfect kind of love. This kind of love is that selfless love. It's important to remember that as I go here, because this is a selfless love that comes from the Lord himself. We give our life to the Lord and we get a smidge of agape. And the more we follow the Lord, we actually grow in our understanding of agape all of our lives. This is a gift from the Lord. Agape is not romantic love. Agape is not tolerance love. Agape is not parenting love, how we look at children. It's not how we look at parents. Agape is a very different selfless kind of love. And we don't have agape unless we give our life to the Lord and then start to grow in it. That is a very heavenly sent love. And it never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. So the second reason a lot of churches out there in church land, and they say, well, there's no prophecy anymore because when the perfect comes, the partial prophecy, and they cite this passage, will pass away. And what they believe is, the perfect is, and this is where it gets kind of interesting. One hand, one group believes that the perfect is the formulation of the new covenant. In other words, when they wrote it all down and they bound it together in a book. They said, that's the perfect. We don't need prophecies anymore. That's what one group thinks. Another group thinks that the perfect, well, let me just show you this. Matthew 26. Now while they were eating, Yeshua took matzah, and after he had offered the bracha, the blessing, he broke it and gave to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. We did it today. Shulchan Adonai. Very, very Jewish thing. Churches think they invented communion. It was over 1,000 years old before any church even existed. Verse 27. And he took a cup and And after giving thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the removal of sins." And it wasn't, this is not a transliteration. He wasn't saying, this turns into blood. He was talking about the symbol. It was like my dad, Rabbi Frank, said earlier. It was the third cup. And we know in Judaism that that is the cup of redemption. And he was saying this cup, the redemption. And he was pointing to that in scriptures. And what he's really talking about, the covenant, he's representing the new covenant that was prophesied way back in Jeremiah 31. I will write this on your hearts. So we fast forward to when Yeshua is making this statement. And again, he said, "For this is my blood of the covenant." The new covenant, redemption in the new covenant. How are we going to, I mean, he represents the perfect. We don't need the binding of the book. We know that he represents it. In other words, when we go back to, I have to back this up for a second. I'll show you what I mean here. I'll make sense. "For when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." They didn't need to wait for a book. They already understood what the covenant was. Why? What's the formality of having to bind it all together into a storybook? Yeshua already walked the earth. They didn't need the storybook. The perfect that's coming is talking about when we're with him again. Because everything else is going to fade away. That agape love won't. We won't need prophecy when we're with him again. We won't need words of knowledge when we're with him again. We won't need healing when we're with him again. We won't need... Do you see what I'm saying here? So sometimes people point to this passage and they say, look, when the perfect comes. The perfect came. And he's coming back. And when we're with him, we're all good. We won't need this. The third one, the third common passage, I'm not even going to give you a response to this. It's a little bit of a... I think you'll understand why. Hebrews 2, verses 3 through 4. How will we escape? And this is, remember, the third argument against why prophecies are not for today from the scriptures. How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was first spoken by the Lord, and he was confirmed to us by those who heard signs and wonders, various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to his will. Now, as you remember, this is what churches will use. I'm going to back this up because I'm not sure if you all caught the why we don't believe prophecies are for today in this. So I want to be clear in what they're saying with this passage. Verse 4. At the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders. In other words, we had signs and wonders. He testified by them at one time and various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to his will. In other words, God did testify by them. So since it sounds like a past tense expression, he must not be doing it anymore. Let me give you a silly way of thinking about it, but I think it's a pretty good accurate way. This is what I believe he's saying. I think it's a past tense of something that God did do then. I brushed my teeth. Did you brush your teeth? Past tense. How many of you brushed your teeth? How many of you plan to do it again? Just because we did something in the past doesn't mean we're not going to do it again. I've showered. Do you see where I'm going with this? How many of you plan to do it? I plan to do it again. You want me to do it again. We can start to fill it in. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody who's been taught this stuff. I'm trying to say, yes, I believe that there's a past tense. But I don't believe he's done with it. And that's our position here. We believe at Beth Messiah, and I believe very much that we do have prophecy today. It gets a little bit muddled, though, and I want to speak, and we're going to clear it up with the remaining of the time. Here's why I believe it. Remember earlier that the Ruach brings gifts. The Spirit brings gifts. I believe that's one reason. Another one, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. And this is not a comprehensive list. This is just enough for the sake of our time today. This is kind of a primer. This is like an opening paragraph to a long book about what prophecy is. Verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He tells us, Paul, The great emissary in the new covenant tells us to eagerly desire prophecy. How can we eagerly desire something that we can't do anymore? Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to all men. Do you know real prophecy is baked into edification, exhortation, and comfort? It is not like this. It is not. And we're supposed to keep that in mind when we think of prophecy. It's a whole agape thing. How do we encourage others in the faith? Verse 39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Here we go, another piece. The book of Acts, I think, is a forgotten reason why we believe in prophecy today. A lot of people don't talk about it so much, but prophecy is a powerful tool on telling others about the Lord. I know a man that was, he shared it, it's a very simple story. He was walking around in his country of Wales, and he saw this young woman, they were sitting on a kind of a concrete bench in the city park. And he looked at them, and he thought the Lord laid something on his heart for the guy. And all it was, you know, they play a lot of soccer in Europe, in UK. And the Lord laid on his heart that he was a midfielder for his soccer team. Kind of a random fact. So he just walked up to the guy and he said, are you a midfielder for your soccer team? And the young guy said, well, yeah, how did you know? And that was enough to have a conversation and talk about the Lord for just a couple minutes and move on. The book of Acts is full of those experiences. People who don't know the Lord. And somebody walks up and shares something and they go, how did you know? Yeshua himself is sitting next to a well and there's a Samaritan woman, not even a Jew. And he starts to tell her about her. The man you're with now, he's not your husband. How did you know, she said. I would have loved to have heard him say, because I'm Yeshua, the Son of God, mic drop. You know, but he didn't do it that way. That would have been a very cool way to do it. But we see that all the time. With these types of verbal gifts, when they're done well, can be amazing testimonies to showing that the Lord is still alive today. He is still alive. And he's not powerless. Which brings us to the big issue. This is the elephant in the room. How do we operate in it? Now, this is not a how-to prophesy. This is not a how-to prophesy. But this will kind of touch on this a little bit. This is a how do we operate in it? What's appropriate? What's inappropriate? Because I will tell you what. I have been around some weird stuff. And I'm talking about people who are saying they're prophesying, and I'm like, that is weird. There are things that are just strange. So God is a big God. Do we all accept that? If God says something, it happens. True? I don't understand these people in these communities that try to stir up and act out what they think spiritual stuff should be. There's some inappropriate stuff out there. From time to time, we get people here who will say inappropriate things prophetically. They say God said, and it's outlandish stuff. And over the years, I know my dad's heard a lot of this. I've heard a lot of this. I'm sure a number of you have heard a lot of this. And there is a biblical framework for what can be said and what should be said. One thing also to remember that's not in this list, the scriptures are very, very clear. We prophesy to our level of faith. People who have weak faith, if they are attempting to prophesy, they're not going to say much. I've heard people who have deep faith and they've known the Lord a long time, they can prophesy stuff that can be quite astounding. Like lifetime reverberations, it can be like an amazing thing. But they must, all true prophecies have to be valid to this list that we're going to go over. If one thing on this list is not appropriate with that prophecy, then it's not a prophecy. And I've looked at people will come in here on a regular basis, and I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I've heard this, they'll walk right up to me and they'll say, I'm a prophet. And I'll look at them and say, but not here. And they're usually very offended, and they don't want to come back. And they say, I've had people come in and they say, hey, I've taken a week-long course. I've been certified as a prophet. You know what I'm going to say already? Not here. Pwah! You don't know what you're doing. You're quenching the spirit. No, I'm quenching you, which is what I say back. There is an appropriate process that goes for the prophetic. So let's walk through this list. Number one, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to all men. I alluded to this earlier. All prophecy needs to be encouraging. Period. No heavy hammer stuff. We've had people come in and try to lower the boom. Well, you're really out of line, and the Lord wants you to know he's going to judge you. I don't receive a single word you just said, which is actually what I've told people like that. It is not encouraging. It's not an exhortation. It is not anything nice. They try to act like they're Old Testament prophets. That's what they try to do. The only thing they're missing is a big staff, and they're wearing robes. And so somebody says that they are, it doesn't mean they are. There's also people, there's a man in Michigan a few years ago that was on his tractor, driving his tractor, and he identified as a 6-year-old girl. Just because they say they are. Number two, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep a watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Hey. And just a quick aside here, I'm on the hook for what goes on here. It makes me very nervous. You know what I mean? Would you want to be on the hook for what goes on here? I'm on the hook for it. I watch. Oh, I watch. Our elders watch. If somebody comes in and they say they prophesy, we may say, but not here. We don't receive it. They need to operate like that. The prophet, I say prophet, small p, they never override the vision and the leadership of the house. They have to always be under the vision and the leadership of the house. Every now and then somebody will come in and they'll say, I'm a prophet and you need to change your congregation. They're trying to tell us what to do. We don't tolerate that. I mean, not even slightly. If you ever want to watch me go to like DEFCON 4, boom, in a nanosecond. It's because somebody's coming in and they're trying to change what I'm on the hook for. You know what I mean? And we find these people really fast. We've had them here years ago. There was a group that they were so convinced that I was just quenching the Holy Spirit, just stifling the Holy Spirit. And because the Lord had told one of them, and the other ones agreed, that we should have, after service, have everybody come up after every service and let them do whatever they want to do. If they want to roll around and bark like a dog, let them. If they want to, you know, stand up and tell everybody all their grievances, let them. And first, that's super weird. Like, am I the only one who thinks that's weird? I don't want people barking like a dog next to me. And secondly, if you want to bark like a dog, man, I don't want to stop you. Just do it in your bedroom when I'm not around. Really, don't do it here. It's weird. And secondly, what was I going to say? It's going to be really good. The best point of the message. Doggone it. You got to come back next week. Oh, yeah. Their idea was trying to upend how we operated as a congregation. They were trying to redefine our congregation. We're not doing it. Third point in the list, let all things be done decently and in order. And when I say weird, this is what I'm speaking to. If you want to bark like a dog, we can't do it here. We got to look like we're in order. Some of us have challenges with being in order. We're kind of a mess, aren't we? I'm saying this affectionately. But when we come together, we have to be in order. Because we represent the Lord. And if we don't have our junk together and people come in here and they don't know what's going on, they're like, that is so weird. I remember I went into a congregation years ago, years ago, and I remember standing, actually I was next to my mom and dad, and we were standing there, and the service is starting and people start taking out all their gear. I don't mean Judaic. I mean, they're, you know, streamers and banners. And when the song started, they started doing loops and stuff. And I remember thinking, like, whoa, what's up? Now, they're having a great time. I'm not putting it down. But for people in there who don't know anything about the Lord, who know nothing about the Lord, they'll have no idea what's going on. So here we will be in order. If somebody would want to prophesy from the back of the room, I'd be like, nope, we're shutting that down. I know that because we've had people try and do that before. Not here! If you want to shout a prophecy, do it in your bedroom. We'll see how loud you are. Not here. It's so strange. Every now and then you'll see somebody who will go into some mega congregation somewhere, wherever it is, and for whatever reason, they want to prophesy in this place. And they'll pick, and I saw a clip of I think the congregation held like, whatever, 10,000 people. So some lone guy sitting on basically the equivalent of this side of the room, a little bit kind of middle, starts yelling out as the service is going on. The speaker's up speaking. He stands up. He starts yelling out, "You're going to hell! You're going to hell!" Okay, how many things are wrong with that? Already, according to our list, it's not in order. It's heavy-handed. It upends what the vision of the house says the house should be trying to do. Do you see the problem here? It's wrong on so many levels. So they did a very appropriate thing. They showed him the door. People say, well, that you got to listen to the prophet. The list. We go by the list because the list is scriptures. Number four, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Anybody who gets up and says, I have a word from the Lord. Do you know what the rest of us should be doing? Go ahead. That's what we have to do. Is this right? You know, is this appropriate? You're delivering it in an appropriate way? Is this encouraging? We need to listen like this. The person who says it does not get this liberty to just walk away because they said it. They're on the hook. There was a time, excuse me, I lost my helmet. There was a time where some of you remember this. In 2020, Joe Biden, Donald Trump for president. Remember that? Bunch of people running around there saying God told them Trump was going to win. Ha! Were they ever wrong? When somebody says something for the Lord, we judge it. That's appropriate. And some people say, well, God says don't judge. Well, that's not true. God says judge all the time. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. The way somebody acts, what's in their heart comes out their mouth. We listen to that. We don't judge their motives or their intentions. We never judge anybody's heart. Only Hashem himself can do that. But we judge everything else. Finally, I took a slice of the verse here. You can go back and read the whole thing on your own. Galatians 1:8, a gospel other than what we have heard or preached to you, a curse be on him. In other words, everything gets measured to the scriptures. Somebody says something that contradicts the scriptures, guess who wins? The scriptures. I am in shock at how many people prophesy, small p, things that are not in the scriptures. It's unbelievably common. Unbelievably common. People will often say, I wake up and I ask the Lord and what to wear. Do you know the Lord gives you a will? You know what I'm saying? We can microcosm some of this stuff to the point where we're not even letting ourselves make decisions and we think everything else is spiritual. Here's one thing that's really common that it's not appropriate for the scriptures. People will come in from time to time and they'll say, the Lord told me I'm supposed to come here today. And I'll say, well, where do you go? And they say, I go all over the place. I go wherever the Lord tells me. The Lord doesn't tell you to do that. The Lord tells you to embed in a community and develop healthy accountability. I know that because that's what the Bible says. So what you just said is weird. I say this to people. If it's not in the scriptures, we don't want it. People will say, you know, I'm praying for X, Y, Z. Well, the Bible says do this. You don't have to pray about it. Just do it. I'm praying if I should witness to my neighbor. Well, of course you should. That's what the Bible says. This list of five is our guiding principles. Prophecies. And I'm going to end just with a couple things here. I want to share some prophetic things that I've been around. I've either been, people have told me, or I've heard from the Lord myself. And I don't want to make it sound like I hear from the Lord every day. But it's been an interesting journey in my life. One time I was out of town and I was leading a congregation, and this woman was standing next to him, and she said, I had just finished speaking there at his place, and this lady said, would you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. And I said, what do you want me to pray for? And she said, I don't want to tell you, but I've got some plans, and I really want to make sure that I do my plans well. Okay. So we start to pray, and the Lord laid something in my heart, a very simple thing. So I finished the prayer, just help her plans, whatever. And I opened my eyes, I looked at her, and I said, the Lord laid in my heart a simple thing I'm going to pass on to you. And he was there. The leader was there. I said, whatever you want to do, you'll get a yay or a nay from him. He's going to confirm it. It's going to make sense to him. Or he's going to look at you and he's going to say, this doesn't make any sense. And she looked at me like I slapped her. It's like, I'm just telling you what I heard. This is it. This is all I got. And she was, and she walked away. And he looked at me, he said, man, I can't believe you just said that to her. I don't even know who she is. I just met her right then. I've never seen her since. And he said, she comes up with the most harebrained things. And because of that, she's lost her savings. She's lost her job. She got her husband divorced her because she just does this willy-nilly stuff that she doesn't work through or with anybody else. I'm like, wow, that's cool. I'm glad I said, you know, work with your congregation leader. Have him be a good support to you. Another thing, there's one time I was here in this congregation, somebody after service said, would you pray for me? Sure, I didn't know anything about the guy. So we prayed, I remember his first name, and we prayed for him. And then I said, well, would you, the Lord laid something in my heart for you, but I don't know what it means. I'll just tell you what it means. Day by day, you need to live day by day. And he looked like I slapped him. I said, does that mean something to you? A couple days ago, I just got out of 30-day inpatient treatment for alcoholism. And day by day is the moniker, what they tried to teach me in that treatment program, to just live day by day. And I said, well, just know that the Lord knows you were there, and he wants you to remember that. Live day by day. This building, I believe, goes back to a word, a prophetic word, 17, now 18 years ago. But remember, all prophecy has to be encouraging. It can't get in front of the house. It has to be judged. There's a real appropriateness to it when it's done right. And when it's right, we don't try to generate things. Maybe 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be used. I heard from the Lord again. Actually, it was about 4 months ago, but I got to share it a couple months after that. I was visiting a congregation. I'm going to keep this a little bit ambiguous here, but I was visiting a congregation, and I knew before I was going to the congregation that I needed to say something to somebody in the congregation, and I had saw their picture online. Isn't it weird? And I didn't know the person. I didn't know their name. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't even know what they did at the congregation, and the Lord had laid something in my heart that I had to share something with this person in the congregation. But I couldn't go into this other congregation and just say something to them. I had to go to the leader of the congregation because I had to go under the covering of the house. And I had to introduce myself to the leader because I didn't even know the leader of the congregation. Now, this is strange. And a long story short, Lord, I need some help. And the Lord shared something for me to share with the leader of the congregation. But I didn't know the leader of the congregation. So now I got to go to the leader and tell him I want to talk to this other person, but the Lord has something for him too. Super weird. But I went to the congregation, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to say anything. I need your help because I can't be that weird guy that walks in and says this stuff. I need your help to find the leader because I'm not even sure who the leader is. And the leader walked up. I'm sitting in the chair saying this to the Lord. And the leader walked up then and introduced himself to me. what do you know? And I said, you know, I got to tell you, I've really been looking forward to meeting you. I've got something the Lord laid in my heart for you. And I told him, and he said, wow. Wow. Did anybody tell you what's going on in my life? I said, no, I didn't even know. I don't even know your name. Huh. And then he walked away pretty abruptly. He received it, though. He said, okay, I received that. And I didn't have time to finish telling what I had to tell him. And there was this other guy who I didn't even know how to get to the other guy. But I knew I couldn't walk up to the other guy. The Lord laid in my heart, I can't walk up to him. And after the service, I'm talking to this lady, and I know the lady, she's connected to the other guy. I thought, well, you know what? I'll just tell her. Maybe she'll tell the other guy what the Lord laid in my heart. And I said, well, it's a strange thing. Lord laid your husband. Are you, you know, you're married to this guy. And she, yeah, Lord laid your husband in my heart. And she said, what did he tell you? I'm like, and she's got this real look like you're a can of crazy, Jim. You know, like, so I started to tell her, though. The Lord told me that, you know, all this stuff is going on with him. And she stopped me in the middle of it. And she brought me back to where he was. And this was in between services. And she introduced me. She said, Jim, you have to tell him. And so we meet each other. And I said I was out of town. I happened to see your picture online. And the Lord spoke to me immediately when I saw your picture. And I don't know who you are. And I didn't know his name. I know nothing about him. But I tell him what the Lord had laid in my heart. And he gets all excited. He's all giddy. And he records it. Because he has to find my credentials. Before I told him, I said, well, I met your lead guy over here. And I told him. And he said, okay, good. And I told him the other people who, you know, I said, check on these people online. They can tell you if I'm crazy or not. And I wanted to be very appropriate. And all of that to say that God does use us in prophecy, but it has to be in an appropriate way. There was a prophecy years ago that my dad would be ministering to his people. And then there was another prophecy for me that I would be working with my dad in the ministry in this way. And that's so strange to me. And, you know, one prophecy I had for me was twins. One lady tells me one word, twins. I'm like, well, that's ambiguous. My dad got all excited when he heard it. He's like, you're going to have twins. No, I'm not going to have twins. I don't want twins, you know. We're done. I called Leah. We were out of town. I said, twins. And she said, no. We really were done at this point. And so twins. This is one of my twins. The other twin is Anchor Falls. And I really do view these two like twins, each with two different personalities. I really can go on and on. Specific. One time a guy shows up and he said, hey, you know, Jim, the Lord is going to, and this is somebody we know, then the Lord is going to use you as a trainer in the marketplace. Ah, ha, ha, ha. I was a life insurance underwriter. Underwriter to trainer is like, that's weird, you know, no one does that. So, about less than a year later, they created a job for me in a whole different department. And they said, would you know, we need strategic training. And it wasn't even about training, it was changing the direction of the company. Before we got to the direction, it was a organizational design stuff. But it was all, I had people on my team that were trainers, and I thought, this is surreal, you know. There's so many of these things in my life. And I've also seen so many wackadoodle things. I mean, stuff straight from a can of crazy. So we got to sift them out, you know. I don't think that God ever stops speaking through people to people. But it's never bigger than scriptures. It never messes with scriptures. If we want to learn the Lord's voice, we read the word. People will chase someone who prophesies like a rock star. They'll drive all the way around the country to find him. I heard you have a prophecy. Can you tell me something about me? They're like a fortune teller or a candy dispenser. Give me a treat. Talk. Give me a treat. You know what? It's nuts. There's an appropriate way of doing things and an inappropriate way of doing things. I do believe prophecy is for today. It has to be done appropriately, and it has to really be done with intentionality. A couple weeks ago, I was in Nashville, New Hampshire. I've shared that here. I was speaking in a congregation. I spoke at Erev Shabbat. Lady walks up to me, and she said, you know, it's the strangest thing. I looked at you, and the Lord laid these two words on my heart. It's really bizarre, and I don't know what to do with them. But I think it's about your congregation back in Milwaukee. I don't know her. You know where I'm going with this. So, well, what are the two words? And she told me the two words. I'll tell you what they are in a second. There's two words, literally two words. And she meant it congregationally. And but as soon as she said the words, it got my attention because three other people, the Lord's laid on their heart, over years, these same two words. These same two words. So four people have delivered these same two words. Two of them are not American citizens. Two of them are American citizens, but the two that are American citizens are from different states. They don't even know each other. Isn't this weird? So what are the two words that God is doing through me for our congregation? It's funny, I've never told anybody these two words before. Do you know what they are, Dad? Beside animal magnetism? The two words, I'm like, you know, even when I say the words, I'm like, oh, it's kind of, And sometimes I'll think about the words and I'll just pray, oh, Lord, you know what they are. I don't know what it's about. Strength and wisdom. What is our community? What is the ministry the Lord uses has been doing through me? There's a focus of me. Strength and wisdom. And a lot of how he uses me is strength and wisdom. Don't even know what that means. And if you think I'm crazy, then you're really questioning it. But those two words, I'm like, it can't be a coincidence. Four people, two non-Americans, two Americans, all live in different places. Do you see the problem here? It's odd. I don't even know what to do with it. Sometimes prophecies like that. Okay, why did I share this today? Because in a few weeks we'll have a man who's often used prophetically with us. His name is Alan Ross. He's a friend of ours from Scotland. He'll share a word, and then after he's done speaking, he'll come down and pray over one or two or three or however many he wants to pray for. Usually it's not a lot of people, and he'll come down the steps and he'll say, I do an all right, Alan. I pray for you. Stand up. What's your name?
Ulysses.
And then he'll pray just like that. And then he'll go, okay. And he'll look for someone else to pray for. What do you think, Marianne? Is that pretty good? Then after the service, there's always some people who want to sneak over and say, could you pray for me? Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Just get to know him. He's a nice guy. And he just prayed for the people that laid in his heart to pray for. He's not a monkey boy. You know what I mean? Get to it, monkey boy. That's not how this works. We do things appropriately, in order. We record anything that's delivered. If he prays for somebody, we will have a recording. It takes us sometimes a little time to get you the recording, but we will have a recording of it. And then you can listen to it on your own and you evaluate it. If it's weird, I will cut him off. I have corrected bad prophecy before. Not from him, but from other people. I've gotten up. My dad's done the same thing. I've stood behind here and I said, well, we just heard a prophetic word that's not quite right. So if he would do something like that, and I'm measured to the scriptures and that list of five things, and if it's not right, I will tell you it's not right. You tracking with me? And if you think it's not right, then come talk to me after service. I'll tell you why I think it is, why you think it isn't, and we'll have a good discussion. Not debate, discussion. I really will hear. The Lord speaks. He is not done. He speaks primarily through his word. But sometimes he fine-tunes. Remember the time David had the affair? Some of you remember that in scriptures. David has an affair with a married woman, Bathsheba. He has her husband killed because Bathsheba's pregnant. He needs to create this story, this alibi, you know. Gets the husband out of the picture. Nathan the prophet walks in and says, oh, David, you really blew it. You really blew it. And he prophesied to David. That prophecy to David was specific to David, wasn't it? Sometimes there are prophecies that are just specific to people that are not bigger than the verses, not bigger than the Bible. Those are appropriate prophecies, as long as they meet the list of five. So please stand up. Lord God, your own design, the scripture of your design, and we look to learn more of them and the applicability of them. So teach us more. Teach us how to hear a healthy prophecy. Teach us how to grow in the gifts of the Spirit. Teach us how to receive, or Lord, how not to receive. Not to be mean, but not also, Lord, not to tolerate inappropriate words said in your name. We do pray for this time with Alan, even now, that it would be a good trip for him to come over, that all would go well. And we pray for us as a community, Lord, that you, again, you always teach us more, always up the way with you, that you draw us closer to you, teach us more of you. Thank you for your goodness. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yovarecha Adonai vo'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav aliyecha vihunecha. Yasei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. If you have a prayer request, please do come and pray with the elders right here. There's schmooze everywhere. Down the hall, there's coffee and an oneg. And I'll see you next Shabbat.